This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
That's part of submission. Allah has given you enough reason to submit for you to submit even when you don't know the specific reason for something that's happening in your life.
Subhanallah. I like
that. That aspect of trying your best is the action of a person that is mindful of God. They're mindful of God, and that's the ulul albab. And as a result of being the one that uses their intellect, they're the ones that are the successful ones.
There is this bitterness, there is this hatred, there is this pain in their heart that why is it that mankind submits to a Lord they can't see and they're not willing to submit to our will? We've been throwing dollars at them and entertainment at them. Why aren't they, you know, standing up from God and sitting with us? Why do these Muslims keep standing up from us and going back to their Quran?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. So the question for today, based on yesterday's juz, how many times is the phrase Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah? So please answer below, inshaAllah ta'ala. And a reminder before we get started, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to please donate generously to the efforts of Yaqeen. We hope that you're enjoying all that we've put out there, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And everything, of course, is free and for the benefit of the ummah, and is made possible first and foremost by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you investing in this work, inshaAllah ta'ala, I hope that you and your family are benefiting, bidnillahi ta'ala, from everything that we have here. Today we are joined by, of course, Sheikh Abdullah Duro, as always, and Mufti Hussein Kamani. Alhamdulillah. Kayf halak, Mufti Saab, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, well.
Alhamdulillah. And we got the same shoes, you know? Mm. Sheikh Abdullah didn't get the memo.
No, I got the memo, because you got to understand, before you came, every time I see Sheikh Mufti Kamani, we do a little jujitsu, a little wrestling.
Oh, mashallah.
So that's why I see he looks a little exhausted. Just pardon him. Just pardon him. You know, it's...
So who won?
Oh, he won, mashallah.
He won?
He's solid, mashallah.
Mashallah. Mashallah. That's good. I'm not going to get involved, you know, because I got to make sure that...
No, that ping pong, basketball, just watch. It's okay.
Stick to ping pong and basketball?
Yeah, you should need practice more ping pong and basketball.
Okay.
There you go.
You're lucky people haven't seen the tape, Sheikh. You're lucky people haven't seen the tape, man. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
How's it going?
Alhamdulillah.
How are things at Qalam?
Excellent.
Alhamdulillah. It's good to have you here with Alhamdulillah Ibrahim. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are going to be reflecting, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, on Juz 7, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, inshallah ta'ala, today I'm going to be in Surah Al-An'am. And subhanAllah, if you look at the previous two ajza, the things that we covered there, in Juz 5, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you? What does Allah azza wa jal benefit from punishing you when you are grateful and faithful? And then in Juz 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Bani Israel breaking the covenant, and of course, وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَهُمُ الطُّورِ, right? Allah azza wa jal mentions raising a tur, raising the mount over them as a warning to them, and because of their breaking the covenant. And so you see the punishment that comes to them, the warning that comes to them as a result, direct result of their kufr, as a direct result of their ingratitude and their lack of faith. Now, in this juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in Surah Al-An'am, and this is verse 17, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches you with harm, then none can undo that harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None can undo it except Him. And فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ, literally the scholars will say, فَلَا رَافِعَ, nothing, no one can alleviate, right? And it's really profound when you think about it, a mountain literally being put on top of a people to warn them. No one can raise that bala, no one can raise that trial from you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches you with a blessing, then He is most capable of all things. Now, it's really beautiful and profound here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if He tests you with harm, nothing can remove that harm except for Him. And there are multiple supplications, multiple du'as that have this similar tone when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt. Oh Allah, there is no one who can prevent, no one who can forbid that which you have given. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ. And no one can give what you have prevented or forbidden. So no one can
give or withhold except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can withhold except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can benefit or harm. As the Prophet ﷺ told Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, know that if the entire ummah, if everyone was to gather together to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you with anything except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for you. And if they were to gather to harm you with anything, they would not be able to harm you with anything except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it against you. إِلَّا وَقَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. So in the first situation, except that Allah has written it for you. In the second situation, except that Allah has written it against you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَتِ السُّحُفُ, that verily the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. So qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in this surah, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the subduer over His creation, and He is the all-wise and all-aware. So if you look at the du'as and what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us about our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't ascribe evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do acknowledge that test comes to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about a good result within us. Because to ascribe evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to suggest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, a way in dealing with His creation that comes from a place of shar, that comes from a place of evil. And Allah Azza wa Jal deals with us with justice and with mercy. لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك. And there is no escape or refuge from you except back to you, O Allah. And so everything is meant to drive you back to Allah, back to Allah, back to Allah. And what is the benefit of the Prophet ﷺ sharing with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that benefit and harm only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ultimate sense? So that you do not seek benefit from creation, nor do you believe that the alleviating of harm ultimately comes from creation. Because anything that has come your way has come for wise purposes. And therefore, you must respond in a way, inshaAllah ta'ala, that you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a profound and with a sincere return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He reigns supreme over His creation and He is all-wise, all-aware. The scholars mention, of course, of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Qahir Al-Qahhar, the subduer, the one who subdues His creation. He subdues the tyrant. He subdues His entire creation with His will over what they will. And as Al-Khattabi rahimahullah says, He subdues all of us with death, the way that He does with sleep at night. And then on the Day of Judgment, of course, who is Liman Al-Mulkul Yawm? To whom belongs the dominion? To Allah Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, to the only one, the ultimate subduer, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa al-hakim, and He is the most wise with His actions, wa huwa al-hakim, as the scholars say, with His actions, wa huwa al-khabir, and He is all aware of His ibad. So with His amal, Allah Azza wa Jal only does what is wise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything in regards to His ibad, in regards to His servants, and in regards to His slaves. And inshallah ta'ala with that, pass it on to our beloved Shaykh Abdullah.
Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala amma ba'd. This beautiful month of Ramadan is a month of really coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by spiritual deprivation, voluntary deprivation for spiritual conditioning. And with that, you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by getting close to Him, by learning His names and attributes and how they are manifest, how they take place in your life, in different aspects of your life. He mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Qahhar wa Al-Qahir, the one that subdues His creation, and also the wisdom and knowledge of Allah. From His wisdom is that He has given this Sharia, this body of, linguistically means a body of water, channels of water that come to a body of water to nourish the soul. When one practices it, they feel this nourishment, this spiritual nourishment, rejuvenation, uplifted. But when they study the Sharia, when they learn about the Deen of Islam, the framework that Allah has given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His khibr, He's al-khabir, that He's well aware of what goes on in this world within His creation, He is the one that determines what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. As some scholars say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa alladhi yuhassin wa yuqabbih. He is the one that determines what is beneficial and that which is not. So basically the halal and the haram, what is tayyib and what is not tayyib, what is good and what is not good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the chapter of Ma'idah, chapter number 5, verse number 100, when He says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem,
قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب, that the evil and the good things are not equal. This is the first portion we want to capitalize on. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something that we may know that is badihi, it is common sense that we may think, even spiritually, that the good and the evil are not equal. Shaytan and Adam, they're not equal, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that determines what is good and equal, and this is so important. Sometimes in our subconscious, we may think things online or offline are good for us. When we either learn about it, for those that convert to Islam, you learn something that you've been doing all your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in reality, this is evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not of the actions of the muttaqun, of the ones that are pious and recognize God's beautiful names and attributes. So Allah says that that is not equal. Al-khabith wa-tayyib. Al-khabith yani is faceted, that which is bad, which is evil, which is corrupt, right? Wa-tayyib, and that which is good, which is pure, which if you indulge on the tayyib, on the good, it increases your awareness of Allah, your closeness to Allah, your intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the intimacy with the sharia as well. And then Allah says, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ, even if you were amazed by the abundance of evil. So right now, if we look at the abundance of evil, all you have to do is go on your phone for 5 minutes on social media, you will see an abundance of evil, an abundance of things that will distract you, an abundance of things that will take you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the remembrance of just being a good Muslim. So when looking at this kathratul khabith, notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, qul, meaning that he wasn't speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say this to the people. So we have to look at ourselves, what are those things that I really, really like that I know are not good for me? And the month of Ramadan can serve as a catalyst, not seasonal, meaning that the month after you go back, no, something that is a catalyst for one deed that you have that you know is not good for you, whether it's something that you may eat that is bad for your health, or something that you may do that is bad for your spiritual health as well. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ to say, even if all of these evil things, you're amazed by it, don't be fazed by it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes, says, when he says after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jinn, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And this is very interesting. He says, so people of understanding, be aware of disobeying Allah. Maybe you will be the successful ones. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. So it's in order to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's the characteristic he gives? يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And al-bab comes from lub. And lub means the center, the core, the crux of the matter. What does it lead to? You're very intellectual. You think, you ponder over your creator and your reality. So the one that is able to distinguish, and not only able to distinguish, with that distinguishing factor of, I know this is evil for me, I try my best to stay away from it. Try, because that aspect of trying your best is the action of a person that is mindful of God. They're mindful of God, and that's the ulil albab. And as a result of being the one that uses their intellect, they're the ones that are the successful ones. The successful one is the one that determines the right and wrong from what Allah has told them, not their own intellect, but they use that intellect to use it as an engine to stay away from that which is not beneficial for them, because there will be times where people will say things that are not beneficial for us and we may follow them. It's important to go back to that anchor, and that's where we will go. Sheikh Mufti Kamani is going to speak more about that, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we're going to start off by turning to verse number 68. Of Surah Al-An'am. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a very important lesson. Sheikh Abdullah was just speaking about how right and wrong is determined by Allah Azza wa Jal. In Islam, we don't believe that what's right and wrong is purely subjective, that it's up to me to decide what's right and what's wrong. Rather, there is a divine nature to this. there are subjective elements to the implementation of the objective truth. But the truth starts with a reality. And that is where revelation plays its very important and integral role in the life of the Muslim. Sometimes the wrong originates from your own nafs, something that your lower self instigates and pushes you towards. But then there are times where you're in a good place. You're in Ramadan, you're fasting, you feel like you're safe. But the people around you aren't on the same page as you. The environment that you've chosen to surround yourself with, sometimes it's that phone and the apps on there, or it might be the images or the ads that Facebook or Google decides to push your way. It might be the show that you really enjoy watching. They're not on the same page as you. And that's a tricky thing about being in a world that you don't dictate terms to, or if I may say, just being in the world. That there is some of it that's in your control, and then there's a second part of it that's out of your control. Managing what's in your control is easier. But then you have to engage with the second part of reality, which is understanding that there are so many things out of your control. You don't get to determine what happens there from the beginning till end. But what you do get to do is decide how you respond to the evil that you see or the good that you see. The response of the human being is what's in our control, and that's what we're accountable for. Sitting here, this is what I'm accountable for. I don't get to choose what happens on the other side. Now we come to this ayah, and there is this incident, not just one, but many instances in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that had a similar outcome. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so interested in giving da'wah to people that he would sit with anyone. And when the Prophet of Allah would sit with them, these people, sometimes they would just be ignorant and, you know, act like they couldn't hear the Prophet of Allah. Other times they would mock him, ridicule him. And then at times they would actually take their antics to a whole different level where they would engage in blasphemy and begin to mock Allah and His Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And right there, I want you to stop and think about your life. Sometimes you're watching a show or you're just enjoying a particular skit and everything's good. It's nice, kosher. And then all of a sudden, someone says something. Someone does something on that show. You know, it may be a Muslim actor, maybe a non-Muslim actor, but they mock Allah or His Rasul. They begin to mock religion. They begin to make fun of it. In their mind, it's not a simple joke. There is this bitterness, there is this hatred, there is this pain in their heart that why is it that mankind submits to a Lord they can't see and they're not willing to submit to our will? We've been throwing dollars at them and entertainment at them. Why aren't they, you know, standing up from God and sitting with us? Why do these Muslims keep standing up from us and going back to their Quran? This is actually because of the ayah of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us of this. Be mindful of where you are. I'm going to translate the ayah, and you'll see how this all comes together. When you see those who indulge in blaspheming our verses, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا means to dive into something. They would say, خَاذَ فِي الْمَاء, a person dived into water. And diving into water is diving into an unknown body. Therefore, it later on becomes used in خَوْذْ فِي الْجَهَالَةِ, jumping into unknown areas, something that you have no expertise in, something you have no business doing. Why are you mocking revelation? Who are you to make fun of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whenever this happens, الَّذِينَ يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا, that there are people around you who are mocking the verses of Allah, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ, what you need to do is stand up and walk away. Turn away from them. حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ, until they become occupied with some other discourse. وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ, and if shaitan should cause you to forget this instruction, فَلَا تَقُعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, then do not sit with the unjust people after recollection and after recognizing the mistake here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to learn from this and to implement it into our lives.
JazakAllah khair, Mufti Sahib. So subhanAllah, one thing that I think caught me immediately, and just for the sake of the audience, what were the verse numbers?
Chapter 5, verse 100.
Verse number 68.
Alhamdulillah. So for those that are following along, one thing, subhanAllah, that sticks out to me is that الرِضَى بِالْقَضَى, to be pleased with Allah's decree, is الرِضَى بِالشَّرَى, to be pleased with Allah's legislation. Mm. It comes from actually the exact same submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah determines what is good and Allah determines what is evil. My response is to be pleased and to be submissive. And that's how I come to a place of contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware. And so there's wisdom to His decree, there's wisdom to His legislation, there is wisdom to what He puts forward, and there is beauty in your submission to what He puts forward, regardless of how you're experiencing it. But make sure that you're using the filtration process that He gave you of good and evil, right? And then you don't just judge your own response by that criteria of good and evil, but you actually at that point see the entire world through that lens of good and evil based upon the criteria that He gave you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you never come to terms, or you never come to a place where you're okay with people mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which Allah azawajal has declared to be evil, even if it seems so innocent. And at the same time, you don't become displeased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of something that happens to you or because of something that you have to do, even if it seems pointless, right? So it's kind of like the same thing, like, why is Allah doing this? What's the point? What's the point of Allah letting this happen to me? What's the point of Allah legislating this? I don't need to actually know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in this particular legislation or this particular decree, because I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. And so submission to Allah's decree is the same as submission to Allah's legislation. I think that ties all of this.
No, that's so true. I mean, you find this a lot with the youth, and sometimes even with people that convert to Islam, like they have to know the answers to everything. And especially in a society where you asking why is intellectual. You want to find out, you know, the reason or the mechanisms behind why something happens. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a totally different situation, because if He knows the unseen, our anatomy and physiology, for example, we don't know why our eyes are put in this place, or, you know, our body parts are put in a certain place, but we know that it functions a certain way and it works together. So there's a level of submission, whether we know it or not, on certain things in life. But when it comes to the creator of life, why is there sometimes we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, why do we challenge that to where our worship becomes conditional? Like you said, what's the point? Why do I have to do this? You know, sometimes you'll find, or you say this sometimes, what's the point of it? And just telling them, just trust the process, sometimes can be difficult. But in the difficulty, the trust is the ibadah in and of itself. And that's why it's so beautiful. You know, I remember one time, subhanAllah, when I was looking into Islam, I remember, you know, that's so funny. The guy was like, man, I'm going to become Muslim, but I want to know for real if there are aliens. If aliens exist, if I can find the answer why aliens exist, khalas, I'm becoming Muslim. I was like, did God create aliens if they exist? He said, yeah, okay. So the fact that you don't know is something that Allah knows, and He gave you a system. Trust in the system, and then maybe later in your life, you may find out why they are. What's most important for you is to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the system that He gave you. And that's what, subhanAllah, that istislam is total submission to Him and His legislation that He's brought.
You know, that's fascinating, because the reality is that in order for iman to truly exist, you have to be okay with being vulnerable. There are times where vulnerability is blameworthy, and then there are other times where it's praiseworthy. Vulnerability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is probably one of the most beautiful things a human being can do. Just being vulnerable in front of Allah. Being okay with not knowing, being okay with crying, being okay with being weak, accepting that you're poor, you know. As Sheikh Omar was speaking, there was just one word that kept roaming in my mind. It was the wasf of ubudiyyah. Like the pinnacle of the insan is, of the human being, is accepting that your entire existence boils down to one reality, and that is that you are a servant of Allah. That's the end of the journey of revelation. The end of Quran and Sunnah is right there, it's ubudiyyah. So even when the Prophet ﷺ introduces himself, he's saying, أَشْهَدُ أَنِّي عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The taqdeem and ta'khir is fascinating. He mentions...
Can you translate that, Sheikh?
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions the ubudiyyah element first, that I'm a servant of Allah. And then from the servants of Allah, that's like the haqiqah, that's the reality. And then within the servants of Allah, there are different awsaf and different tiers. And then the highest tier from the servants of Allah are the rasul. The Rasul, right? The messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is a Rasul, and he is a part of a fraternity of Rasul. So he then says that this is who I am, but it boils down to that one thing of ubudiyyah, and that is being okay with it. One thing beautiful about our tradition that's different from others is that we don't need this Catholic concept of leap of faith. Mm. We don't have to take a leap of faith. Leap of faith for us is different. When we say we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very different from the way other faiths struggled with having to process their theology, where entire theses upon theses were written because they were so busy copying out from or not being able to explain their religion in a logical manner. Mm. Our deen is very different. Our deen is based off of a tradition of rich scholarship. But yet when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to knowing the murad, the intent, the niyyah of Allah, only that person can know who has wahi. And with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departing from the dunya, wahi comes to an end, revelation comes to an end. So for the rest of us at this point, then it's submission to that revelation, right? What are your thoughts on that, Sheikh?
No, I think it's amazing because what you have is every abd of Allah, every single one of the slaves of Allah has something that they don't know. And Allah gives you just enough for you to understand that everything is indeed logical, everything is with wise purpose. And so you've seen enough times, if you've lived long enough, you've seen enough times where what you wanted was actually bad for you, mm-hmm. and what you didn't want was actually good for you. So you've seen the qadr of Allah in action, you've seen the end of that. So you have to trust Allah for the times and the things that you'll never actually see the wisdom of in this life. And when it comes to the shara', when it comes to legislation, you can find the logical structure behind most things. I mean, mm-hmm. you can actually find the logical structure. You can see exactly why intellectually this hukum exists, this ruling exists. It makes sense. But then there are some where, you know what, I don't see the reason, but there is enough of an established evidence at this point that there is a reason that the Rabb has that is beyond me, and I'm okay with that. Now, even the Rusul, the messengers of Allah, know far more than we do. But even the Rusul have a certain element that they don't know. Even the Prophet ﷺ had something he did not know, and he is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's something that Allah conceals from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ultimate thing that is concealed from all of the Rusul is, when is the Day of Judgment, mm-hmm. right? So none of the Rusul of Allah, none of the messengers of Allah know when the Day of Judgment actually is. So that's part of submission. Allah has given you enough reason to submit for you to submit even when you don't know the specific reason for something that's happening in your life.
SubhanAllah. I like that. That's nice.
You know, today earlier I was teaching at the seminary and we were covering the chapter of janaiz, and within the chapter of funerals, the first chapter the author of Mishkat mentions is regarding illness. So it's one of the longest chapters in the book, in the collection, because it's very practical in how the Prophet of Allah was so involved in people's lives, mm-hmm. right? While we were discussing, I was sharing a point with some of the students that if you look at it, at the end of Surah Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jal says that we should make dua to Allah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh Allah, do not give us a burden to carry that we are not capable of carrying, that we don't have the strength and power to carry. That ayah is preceded by لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, already stating the facts.
Allah does not burden us all.
Allah will never burden you more than you can handle. That's facts. But yet we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here that give me the strength to carry that weight. And one of the things that I heard from my teachers was that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for us to have a particular test in life, we can be exhausted by how that one test can become so long that I've been experiencing this problem for 2 years, 3 years, man, this is tiring. But if that entire test manifested at once in one go, you would collapse.
You'd collapse, yeah.
So it's a slow release. Mm-hmm. And every day you grow into a new strength. Every day you grow into a new shape, a new form. And then 3 years later, the person who couldn't even handle a little bit of hate online, or a person that couldn't handle a little bit of stress in a marriage, is coaching and guiding other people.
SubhanAllah.
How does that happen?
SubhanAllah. So Allah builds strength. Allah Azza wa Jalla builds strength through faith, and it all comes from submission. And I think that's really where this all comes back to. I submit here, I submit my intellect, I submit my emotional state, I submit my physical state, that not only am I being vulnerable to you, O Allah, but my sweetest moments in life are when I am vulnerable to you, that I trust you with myself. فَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Don't leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Make us amongst those who truly submit to Him and forgive us for our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Abdullah. Jazakallah khair, Mufti Kamani. It was a pleasure to have you on. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all the work that you do. Amen. And jazakumullahu khairan to all of you for tuning in. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you tomorrow for Juz 8. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.